Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the vlogcast. Vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. This podcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people on Facebook that I knew back from high school posted stuff that was wrong, and they didn't like my correction of them and basically told them to piss off. Part of this is also to follow through with the old adage that sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. I'm your host, Shujin Tribble. You can find me pretty much anywhere under that name. I'm going to be changing up things a little bit. I completely forgot to remind the staff tonight, and my apologies. We're going to change up the introductions because things have been stretching a little bit longer, especially when we've got a full cast. So let me introduce everyone tonight for your show. I am your host. I am Shujin Tribble. Pleasure to see you all out there, even though I can't. Joining us from the left side on the top of the North American continent, good evening, Dallin.
Good evening.
Moving to the right, over into the armpit of De Capital, good evening, Unrenowned Tech.
Good morning. Across just because I'm near the capital.
Yes. Across the pond over into England, good morning, Chris. Good
morning, Shujin.
And down over to the mainland into France. Good morning, Joseph.
Guten Morgen.
You've gotten yourself a little bit of a change of hair design, it looks like. You've been busy, have you?
It's not behaving.
Huh? You know, you could have just gone ahead and said, yeah, it looks good. Don't you think it? I like it.
What's no, his you name, go Joe?
Honestly, I haven't even looked at it. Anyways,
we're gonna call
woke
it
up like 5 minutes ago, okay?
You know what? That's fine. We'll just call it the Trump and be done with it. How's that?
Oh, please. Trump doesn't have that much hair,
technically.
Fair enough.
The only way you can call it the Trump is if Joseph admits that he's wearing a toupee, which I don't think he is.
No.
Yeah, he's not. We could see the staples if he was.
That does remind me. I do need to. I should go for a haircut one of these days.
And some Rogaine.
Want me to do it for you?
I got your Rogaine right here.
We're off anyway. To such a great start. Chris, yes. How about a rebuttal?
Too early in the morning for rebuttals.
I don't want to look like you.
Oh.
Also good right there. So
you're not my daddy.
So right folks away. That are folks that are used to seeing the show, of course, yes, we are down a couple of hosts. Joe is on the road at the moment. Hold on. Bridget is not feeling well, so she's decided to step out. And Heretic Woman apparently has emigrated to the U.S. for the weekend for some stupid reason. Something to do with Booze, Bobby, and Miss Ass. Sorry, Miss Ashley.
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 Miss Ashley.
That's it. So
Miss Lee of the Ash people.
Yes. So they're probably having themselves a great old time, considering some of the pictures that I saw coming through from Facebook, where they saw was it Dave Silverman, I think, she got a picture with. So you know, congratulations. I hope you guys have yourselves a great time down there, man.
You know. Based on that picture that I saw, though, I've come to one of two conclusions. One, David Silverman is actually the stand-in model for the Jolly Green Giant.
You checked his ball size?
I've never met the guy, okay?
And two,
Heretic Woman is short.
Yes, she is. Yes,
or
she is.
David Silverman spent some time on the rack.
You know what, Dave? If you ever listen to this, whatever you do on the weekend is your business, man. I'm not going to go ahead and question it. You have yourself a great time of it. Just remember,
some people have Pilates, some people have medieval torture. Yeah, you know. Yeah.
But knowing Heretic Woman, she probably helped him out in a bind.
I don't even know what to do with that.
If I'm hoping that Facebook shows
the rack, BDSM.
I got it.
I have to explain everything.
No. If you're watching live, by the way, please take advantage of the Q&A here on the event page for Google Hangouts. If you're listening some other way, or if you'd like to at any time, please feel free to live tweet at us at HolyCrapTV. See what we can do about that. Katie, thank you very much. See you over there. And, of course, as usual, the Crap Crew is here willing to believe you. And there's a whole thing about that, but we'll get to that in a couple of moments.
I could do that faster, but the camera can't keep up.
That's probably a very smart thing. So with apologies to Noah Heath and Lucinda from The Scathing Atheist, Your 5-minute freestyle starts right now. First off, yeah, actually, the freestyle is a little bit salty. There's just nothing that I can really do about it. I'm surrounded by assholes. Well, you probably know the line. It's from Spaceballs. And if you've listened to the show often enough, you've heard me say that, you know, holy crap, the Vlogcast, inspired by Spaceballs and Mel Brooks. So, you know, that's just the way it's going to be. So, what am I referring to in this particular case? I'm not referring to any of that. I'm actually referring to a twofer in this particular case. And the host text chat that's going on right now has actually gotten a pretty good handle, even though they don't realize it yet. I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church with my family and my parents until I was, you know, basically told, all right, you're old enough now, you can choose for yourself if you want to go to church. Didn't really want to, but I did the stuff that you're supposed to do because, you know, that's what you do because, you know, telling your kid, you know, all right, you're 13, 14 years old, you can choose whether or not you want to go to church now after you've basically been taking them every week since whatever. Yeah, that's not exactly fair. You might want to think about that for the future. You also probably want to not keep them into more than that. For instance, parochial schools. Not such a good idea, especially when, you know, they're going to have to go out to the rest of the world, unless you go to some, you know, Catholic college, but accreditation at that point is going to be a little bit questionable. And you've still got the small problem of, you know, biology that's got to be questioned. And radiometric dating, cosmology, chemistry, physics. I could go on, but that's really not where I'm going at this point. There are Catholics all over the place. They make up some of the biggest groups in Christianity. They're one of the most organized. They've got effectively a nation state sort of all to themselves. Granted, they're considered money laundering sometimes, but whatever. That's just between them. Until you start getting into things like, you know, the things that the priests themselves do. And that's where this kind of becomes a bit of a twofer for me. The Catholic Church is it's a money-grubbing organization, shuffling known child molesters all over the place and hiding them from Australia, as a matter of fact. I'd love to have an opportunity of talking with Jake Forwarton sometime and finding out what he really thinks about it when he takes the filter off, but that's a whole other thing. We could talk to Tim Minchin about it, but he's already gone ahead and wrote a song all about it, but you can look that up later. I'm sure we can find it, put it in the show notes for you. But I'd said that this was a twofer, so here's the other part. What about those priests and the kids that they're supposed to be bringing up and teaching in these schools and in churches and whatever? These are the guys who are, to use the expression, surrounded by assholes. And apparently have no compunction with using them however they would like. I got a serious problem with this. And it's not the piece that you think, believe it or not. Yes, child molestation is absolutely reprehensible. It's one of those things where I would personally use piano wire on somebody. But that's not the worst part of it all, believe it or not. The worst part is all the people that are still part of this organization. the millions upon millions of people who still proudly say, I'm Roman Catholic, and I believe in the church. You're the assholes. Because you're the ones who are still allowing it to happen. Stop feeding the beast with the money off of your back. And then, let's see what happens. This is episode 105 on the docket, Your Honor. Showing the love. Somehow it just felt right to dovetail this whole damn thing. Because there are things that people are told as doctrine, and then there's stuff that's in the instruction manual of what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to treat people. And then, as they say, then there's reality. And funny how this trifecta comes together. Oh, I'm sorry. Normally it really doesn't. There are a couple of exceptions, and believe me when I say, one of the exceptions where it all comes together, this is going to be a fun night. So if you've got stuff that you'd like us to specifically address, like I mentioned earlier, the Q&A is open. Be more than happy to see what we can do about that. It may take a little bit of working through to figure it all out, but we're gonna have an interesting time trying to keep the bile down. Because let me kick things off for you guys where the first one that comes to mind for me, and we'll just jump off of this one. If you're going to take where doctrine, what's been told to you, what you're supposed to believe and what you're supposed to do, intersects with what the manual says and intersects with what you actually do, look no further than the Westboro Baptist Church. Gentlemen, have at it. Any time here. You're all on mute. Thank you so much.
I think the first time I heard of anything to do with a church that openly hated gay people and started using Bible passages to tell me that this is the way it was in the Bible. Now, back when I was a believer, my first thought was, not my God. Mm-hmm. There's no way my God. Like, the God I was brought up with was all, you know, farting rainbows. And the only people that he would send to hell would be, like, mass murderers, drug dealers, people who, like, killed children or something like that, the Nazis, all that kind of stuff. And then I, you know, Westboro starts quoting the Bible, you know, a man who shall lay with a man shall be stoned. I'm like, wait, I followed this shit? Oh, sorry. So better watch the filters a little bit.
You know what? It's considering some of the stuff that's going to happen tonight.
Yeah.
You know what, people? You get what you paid for. Tough. It's going to be whatever it's going to be.
You know, I the thing that really gets me, though, like it's the peanut butter parfait that you are denied no matter how good a person you've been, because you just don't have the $3 or $4 to put it together and actually go and buy it, is the fact that nobody has done any kind of, like, you see these guys come out, they got their God hates fags, we're glad the soldiers are dead. Like, why has nobody gone after these guys with a bush bumper on the end of a 3/4-ton truck going high speed? I mean, okay, look, I'm all for freedom of speech and stuff like that, but honestly, I find there's usually only one way to deal with a bully. And that is shut them up. And if you have to, do it permanently. Again, that's more of a redneck solution, and that coming from a Canadian must really be saying something.
Well, there's small problems with that, of course, which gets into various different things, which of course includes now you've become the monster that you've been fighting against. The might doesn't make right, which, oh God, sometimes I really wish that it did, because that would be so nice. I mean, a Morningstar is such a elegant solution sometimes, don't you think?
Yeah. Although these days, Morningstar is maybe a little antiquated. I'm thinking 5 iron.
Just lock them up for the
weekend.
They
don't call them clubs for nothing.
Yeah. It becomes the burden you take on when you value free speech.
Yeah, you're right. It's a double-edged sword, but at the same time, call it a guilty pleasure. You know? Mm. Like when you're out there basically promoting hate, disguising it as religion, if you're not really contributing to society in general, then like, is this still something you should allow?
Yeah. It's difficult. As you say, it's a double-edged sword because you have to put up with speech that you disagree with and even find reprehensible and disgusting. On that, I mean, I think there should be a point at which anything approaching direct incitement to violence should be like off the table. Whether or not you could say like Westboro have crossed that line, I don't know.
Yeah.
On there because it seems to me everything they think is just saying, you know, they're saying, you know, God hates fags, etc. Then don't seem to be actually directly advocating that people go out and take the law into their own hands, kind of thing.
Yeah.
On there, and this is something that I think also that is a brilliant example of the No True Scotsman's fallacy, because people are always saying, like, you know, these are not real Christians, or, you know, real Christians would never act this way. Yeah, everything they're doing is supported by the scripture.
Yeah.
Yep. And as a matter of fact, on top of that, we've heard that on many an occasion where I think it's Matt Dillahunty who had specifically said, "Do you know about these guys? They're actually following your book better than you are. And what does that say about you?" And I've loved hearing that particular one. But over in the Q&A, Keelix, who's watching at the moment, thank you very much, has actually put something in there, and yeah, it's kind of leading the bit, which is okay.
Yeah.
Saying, quote, "The Westboro Baptist Church is a team of lawyers that use bigotry to stir up emotions and then profit off them. They're the big-time version of an old scam, where one man will go to a college campus and spout nonsense hate speech until someone throws a punch, then sues them."
May I interject real quick?
Oh, by all means.
Just for reasons, the statement doesn't actually say Westboro Baptist Church. It says WBC, which is commonly used to refer to them. So just in case.
To be fair, that is correct. It does say, quote, the WBC capital letters. In context, I'm assuming that to be the case. So you're right. Thank you very much. I should have gone ahead and do that. And normally that is the way that I do things.
That's why I did it, because you normally do that.
Yes, and you're quite right. I did miss that, so...
Wait a minute. I thought I was the one fighting the head cold.
Well, I
even got my tea tonight. Green tea with jasmine.
I'm a little bit off because my cough. I don't have any milk or cream in the house, so I'm using powdered milk.
Ooh. The travesty of the coffee.
You would have been better off using condensed milk.
That would be fine.
Here we go. 256 character limit, and I used all 256 characters in 256 in that statement, according to Kellex.
Yeah, it's something I've run into before.
I didn't know that. I learned something new tonight. Thank you.
Yeah. On the free speech issue, there was another example that's made the news over the last week or so, was a group of people from the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan, ran into some heavy metal fans. And there was a rather large street brawl ensued. And while admittedly, as again, it's not something I'm necessarily proud of. The sight of some horrible bigot getting smacked in the mouth did seem quite good. At very first sort of visceral reaction. But unfortunately, they had a legal right to be there and to behave in that horrible manner.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a really good point. How many people, not just in America, but across the world, are fully aware of what their rights are within their countries, their counties, their states, their republics, their provinces, whatever their local, you know, what their rights are, what the limitations on those rights are, and are able to retain control over their, as you said, visceral emotions long enough to allow that logic to dictate their actions. Not many, I'm afraid.
No, and okay, talking as just a host instead of head host for a second, considering how few lawyers there are, people who are actually studied in law, who understand this, and how hard it is to train through all of this, I would imagine the number is damned few. And correct me if I'm wrong, Dallin, that's the metric term for it, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
As opposed to a metric ton of bigots.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, the basic ideas are generally fairly well known and understood, or information's easily obtainable and digestible. As with anything, though, if you get into the finer points of the law, yeah, you're going to need someone who's specialized in that.
Like burning the flag, burning the American flag on American soil, there are limitations into how you can go about it that differentiate between practicing your freedom of speech by making a public statement versus desecration of the flag. It's a very fine line, but the Supreme Court has defined that fine line. So if somebody wants to do where they want to make the statement using their freedom of speech of the burning of the flag, which, while I hate seeing it happen, I understand that as long as they're free to do so in this country, that my freedoms are being protected as well. They, as long as they're familiar with that fine line, then nobody has the right to stop them.
Okay, before we go too far down this particular bunny hole a second, because we're straying out.
I'm using that as an example of understanding the laws and acting within them versus having the visceral emotions take over and having a knee-jerk response.
I gotcha. But what I wanted to double-check was, are you making reference to the supposed codes of conduct for the flag or whatever it is that they call them that say that you're not supposed to treat it in a particular manner because there's some kind of retribution that'll happen from the government agency or something?
Well, actually, I was referring to a young kid who down here in Maryland decided he was going to burn the American flag on his back porch and videotape it, and then videotape him stomping on it to put it out the fire. The problem wasn't the fact that he did that. The problem was where he broke the law was that he did it within a certain amount of distance from the forest that was the distance from his porch where the fire occurred to the forest in his backyard was what broke the law. Okay, because so you're not allowed to have an open fire, regardless of why you're doing it, within the distance of a forest in this particular area. And that's what he got in trouble for. And he tried to say that his rights were being violated when in turn they weren't arresting him for desecrating the flag at all.
Okay.
They fined him. That's all they did. They dragged him down, they fingerprinted him, they slapped him with the fine, and he went home.
Okay, see, that's why I wanted to make sure that we were not talking about a free speech thing, because burning the flag itself is not a thing here in the U.S., and that's kind of where I thought the nuance was going to be, some other piece about it.
No, supposed to.
Okay.
I was talking about, once again, somebody knowing the laws, the right, what their rights are and things like that. We as Americans know that we have the right to burn the flag in protest as a means of freedom of speech, whereas many other countries don't have that right.
Okay.
It's just like the KKK. They have the right to say their stupid things here. We don't have the right to punch them in the mouth to shut them up. What we do have the right, though, is if they're in a town and the town has a noise ordinance and they're going above that decibel with the decimal meter out at different sample locations in accordance with certain laws, the police can go, listen, you have to turn the bullhorns off. You're too loud. You're breaking the decibel noise ordinance system.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Chris, you were about to say.
Yeah, I was saying, Tech also followed up with someone else that feeds in there is the, to some great sense you have to look at these laws, and the thing about no open fires within a certain range of certain forests makes sense from an environmental and safety point of view. If he'd had a barbecue in his backyard.
It's not exactly an open fire at that point, though.
As much as a single piece of cloth.
Well, here's the thing. With somebody, I live in a wooded area, okay?
We
have approved types of fires in terms of barbecues. You can have certain kinds of grills. You can make your own fire pit, but it has to be one of several certain approved types due to the nature of the wooded areas, how low the foliage is, things like that. And when you move into an area like this, the people around you try to help you out by making you aware of it.
Yeah. That was just the first example that came to my mind. Mm-hmm. But say he'd been burning another item.
Yeah.
Right on there. Would that law have been enforced and would he have been fined in that way?
If he had gone outside in his tidy whities and put his tidy whities up in the air and caught them on fire, let it burn, put it down on the porch and stomped it out, he would have gotten the same exact fine.
Because he would not have gotten
the notice. He would not have gotten as much attention for doing it as the flag being the symbol of our country did get.
That's what I mean is, I know he would have been liable for the same fine under the law. The question is, would the authorities have deemed it worthwhile prosecuting?
Around here, yes, they would have, because this is a heavily wooded area and fires are very bad for us.
Yeah. Mm.
But that does raise an interesting point, like you said before about the KKK moving or marching and protesting into a town. Now, all I'm saying is that the sentiment of the populace would be get these hate mongers out by any means necessary. And even though they are in fact breaking a noise ordinance and that's what they get busted for, the ringleaders of the protest would probably still say, you're stomping on our freedom of speech.
Using, if they have the police around a certain around a perimeter.
Yeah.
When I lived in Virginia, I used to live in Virginia.
Yeah.
And the police had these wonderful decibel meters that they were using to catch these kids who would sit at a stoplight with their subwoofers turned all the way up so that their cars would vibrate. And they would sit there with the meter, with their window down. They'd have it set. They'd have it on record because it created a log. Uh-huh, and they'd wait a certain amount of time, and then all of a sudden you'd hear, woo!
Yeah.
Because that was what the law said.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a subwoofer, but my speakers attached to the frame of my car. My car was all steel. My car would vibrate during a good song, like the opening chords to Kickstart My Heart from Motley Crue. That could make my car shake a little bit. And, I even had a police officer at one point tell me, hey, dude, you're borderline. Turn that shit down. Okay. He wasn't insulting the music. He was trying to keep me in range of the noise levels.
Yeah.
Because it became a chronic problem in the area. So now, assuming the KKK came in to my town, and assuming they had filed all the necessary paperwork, got all the approval to march through my area on a preset day at a certain amount of time with the proper notification so that traffic wouldn't be impeded. All the things that they had to do for anybody who wanted to make a political statement could do. Okay? Yeah. And they came through, and they weren't breaking any rules, not noise ordinance, nothing. And my son, and assuming my son was in town, I would take my son out there, and I would point at them, and I said, see, that right there should make you proud. These people believe that they are superior to everybody else that is not like them. They hate other people. They think that they are beneath them, that they should not be like, that they should not be allowed to live in some cases, that basically all the rights and freedoms that we have should not be afforded to those other people. In this country, you have the right, you are protected to be able to say what you think and feel and not be punished for it. That's why people like this are allowed to do what they do. Because our country protects you and what you have to say, even if somebody else doesn't like it. You don't have to like what they're saying. I don't like what they're saying, especially with my heritage. But when I see them, I know my rights are still protected, and I am thankful for that every day.
Yeah. Like we said about the double-edged sword earlier, Chris, the same rights that give the KKK the right to march are the same ones that the Pride Parade gets. Yep.
Yeah.
Or the Reason Rally.
Yeah.
Yep, there's that. And I'm sorry, I had a quote that was going through my head. I was trying to remember. For those of you that might remember it from The Blues Brothers, yes, the first movie, the only one that counted, Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah. But see, here's something else that I hope sparked a mental thought process in other people that I've had before, and that is, look at the approach that I just said. I would take my son there. And I would turn it into a lesson, okay? Mm-hmm. Not that he has to agree with other people, but that we stand together to protect our rights to have different opinions, even if we don't like them. So to teach not acceptance of the message itself, but of the act of being able to convey our message. Turn it into a lesson. Don't let your hate, as Chris so eloquently put it, your visceral emotions take over. Turn it into a lesson. Let it empower you, your family, your loved ones, and be the better person. Hey, Sujin, turn the other cheek, right?
This is a joke about me being fat again, isn't it? Yes, yeah, it is.
No, it wasn't. I was referencing, you know, if somebody hits you, turn the other cheek. Come on. The topic of the title of the show. God, I sipped that shit up, man, and everything.
Sorry, you know, didn't get the memo.
You need a translator, maybe.
I actually read somewhere about what that whole turn the other cheek meant and why it was originally part of Christian philosophy back in the Roman days.
Ruin the joke.
Okay. Well, he's recovering.
Go ahead.
You're recovering from your butt hurt there, Tech. Allow me.
Well, you know, he's getting older now, so, you know, he's not as quick-witted as he used to be.
Hey, his birthday was not too far after mine, so, you know, we're still both 39. Anyways. Okay, according to this thing that I saw, it was on TV years and years ago. In ancient Rome, the backhand, that was an insult slap. Like that's the slap that you would use on a slave or on somebody who was beneath your station. The phrase turn the other cheek is actually meant to face the guy and force him that if he's going to slap you, he has to slap you with the open hand. So, you know, right to left instead of left to right, which is a way of saying you will respect me as an equal. You will hit me as though I am an equal, not as your lesser. That's what turn the other cheek meant. It didn't mean walk away from violence. It meant stand up and say, come at me, bro.
Don't tase me, bro.
Yeah, no, it's just when I heard that now, as to that validity of it, I don't know, but sounded kind of cool.
Okay, so backtracking just a little bit, because as usual, you know, we follow down a couple of different areas at different times. The KKK was specifically also mentioned, and this was another group that I wanted to specifically hit. Now, before anybody gives me any kind of concern about I'm only targeting these types of groups, I'm not going to label them what some people would think that they are. I'm just going to use them as the example of what they are. The KKK has also used biblical precedent, biblical teachings, biblical statements, yep, to say we are going to follow through with how we think things should be for social, what's the word that I'm looking for in this case? Social stability, I think, is probably the word that I want to use in this case, because they wanted the status quo. They wanted a pre-Civil War.
They want the world how they want it, basically.
Well, yeah. They are adhering to, I'm going to shoot myself in the foot for saying this, a moral code that is now horribly out of date, because the majority of society has moved beyond, or has shifted paradigms into another moral code. I believe morality is subjective. I think that's the big creed here. I can't remember which one would have a theist crapping their pants at me, whether it's absolute or subjective.
Well, but all the thing of them, is, really, it doesn't really matter. Yeah, anyway, going on.
Yeah, you say hi and they blow up. I'd like to see that. Anyways, but so yeah, groups like the KKK are adherent to a moral code that most of us have moved past into a new moral paradigm over the centuries, but they still want us to go back to, you know, version 0.9, where we're already at like version 5.0.
Isn't it more about rationality? Because, I mean, you'll find that any group of bigots, like going by a clan rules code, they basically, you know, who are basically bullies who have an irrational position, and they just want to use bullying to get the upper hand. Isn't it funny how they all cite doctrine whenever they want to justify their actions? I mean, everything between the KKK and ISIS, I mean, they do the same thing. They're basically just thugs who want to get the upper hand through morally unacceptable means.
Yeah. And again, using a holy book as their foundation to kind of justify, to give them validity.
That's an indirect way of getting crowd approval, because they're using that as a argumentum ad populum to say, like, all these people who believe in this book, they're on our side too. It's kind of a smarmy way of
maybe
justifying it.
Well, let's hope the KKK never really opens up, never really starts thinking the way ISIS does, because that could be bad. A bunch of white-suited conehead people running around blowing stuff up.
No, they used to, Dallin.
Unfortunately, let's hope they don't do it again. That's what I'm saying.
I've turned so far against them, and they are so far outnumbered. And also with the whole Second Amendment thing that you've got over here, applying to black people as well. They're not going to get very far, because if they tried that.
Well, and over here, like, for the most part, at least in a lot of cases, the KKK, they're the butt end of a joke. There are stand-up comics that they make their money off of those guys just for...
Not in their neck of the woods.
Yeah. No, not in their neck of the woods, but in every other part of the U.S., like, even, you know, people who don't consider themselves comedians, guys like Henry Rollins, he's got a bit about the KKK that is absolutely hilarious. But yeah, I think that's my response.
You'll find that people like this aren't very concerned about what's happening outside of their own little bubble.
No.
And the very fact that they're in the bubble, it means they're comfortable there, which means they're surrounded by like-minded people. I mean, they have the support. I mean, if they were on their own, if they were actually faced up to the rest of society, you know, they'd have an incentive to change, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Now, there's a... Go ahead, Jack.
I was going to say, you know, I went through a town with some coworkers. We were all in a car, and I was the only white person in the car. I was in the back seat. And we went through a town, a section of a town. It was all black. And I kind of, it was very run down. The people that were there, that were outside, did not look nice. I'm not talking about their clothes and how they kept themselves. I mean, they had some mean looks on their faces as they watched us go by. More specifically, a lot of them were staring at me. I didn't know why until later, when we went partway over through another section of this town, where there was basically the white version of what we just went through, except I happened to notice that a couple of the guys had SS lightning bolts tattooed on them. One on their arm, one on the neck, because we were trying to figure out where the hell we were. And so we were going slow, and at that point, I scrunched down further in the seat, and I said, guys, we need to really go. And they're like, why? You're here. And I said, I'm a Jew. Like, oh, well, I'm still Jewish at the time.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I was like, Miguel, please go faster.
Two plus two equals GTFO.
Yeah. So we got the hell out of there. And what we found out was that where we had traveled, we had gone in through the two worst possible locations we could possibly be in. And the one person that we were talking to later on, I'm like, you didn't get attacked? And they're like, no. And they're like, you were lucky.
Now, backing up a second, because there's a piece that Joseph was talking about that got me to thinking about this. You were talking about how people will be inside of their bubble, and they're comfortable, they're confident there. And I want to kind of ping this past you for a second, Joseph, and see what you think about this one, because of the way that you're saying it now. Because the first word that came into my head was cult. And it's a very gross term. It's very indelicate for where I'm thinking at the moment, because I'm feeling like the rationale for how people behave, how they act in these kinds of things, for skinheads, for the KKK, and these kinds of groups.
A system of religious veneration and devotion directed toward a particular figure or object. However, it's typically used in reference to a small group and regarded by others as strange or sinister.
Which very easily the skinheads in the KKK could very easily be considered at this point, because they are small, localized groups, perhaps even considered cells. I'm not making statements here, but here's the thing, Joseph. The religious angle for a lot of these groups, you were talking about appealing to populum. You could also make the argument for antiquity. Isn't this, however, the use of religious doctrine of books and such? Isn't it the snake swallowing its own tail? Isn't it an egg versus the chicken? Which came first? Was it the book? Was
it the doctrine?
Was it the group saying we want to hold on to power?
Don't project that rationale to them, because the very fact that they have this position is a lack of rationale. It's basically clan mentality, and the primary goal, or the primary motive, I guess you'd call it, is our gang is bigger than your gang, and that's it. So
survival of the fittest.
And the doctrine is just, it's like, what's
this validation? The validation of their
actions. Let him think. Let him think.
Yeah, a blowfrog that'll make itself look as big as possible to be as intimidating as possible, but he's, you know, full of air.
paper tiger, I think, was the expression that was used for America in World War II, I think it was, or Korea. something like that, trying to make us think that we weren't as strong as we were when, you really don't want to be doing that, especially these things.
That was kind of the wrong thing to say, and that does have kind of a World War II ring to it. I can't say for certain. Needless to say, at the very end, they realized, Kitty had some teeth. The left fang was called little boy, and the right fang was called big fat man.
Yeah, that's.
I'm not sure that's the right reference, but yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm sorry.
It was used again by the Chinese.
Oh.
Against America.
Hmm.
I'm guessing it's World War II then.
Looks like 1946.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
Without going too much into semantics, if you look at what these guys are doing, like sometimes some of the news you see on Fox News, by looking at their quote unquote story, you know, they're talking about the activities of this atheist group or this group of people doing a certain thing. You know, you'd think that it's like an international conspiracy, and you actually look at it and it's like a group of like 10 people in some hick town in the middle of nowhere. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they take that, they try to make it an example of, oh, look at what this big group is doing all over the place and picking on this little town, when it's actually just the little town having what happens in a big town just scaled down anyway.
Yeah, well, look at the poor school. This poor kid had a Bible in class, and they kicked the kid out of class. Well, no, actually what ended up happening was the kid was trying to tell other people that they were going to hell.
Okay, all right. Clarify for me then, because obviously I'm missing a piece about it.
So, yeah, basically you've got a group of people who aren't following the rules, you know, and or some people who are trying, a minority, or trying to make themselves the majority. And they have a quote-unquote differing view from the status quo, like, for example, the KKK. And they're going to blow themselves up to look like something much more than they are, to try to get, because the more people who are on the bandwagon, the more you're going to attract.
Yeah.
Which could be done... Which could literally be done by blowing stuff up, which, of course, unfortunately, we've seen examples of that working. For example, and please forgive me bringing you back over for a second, Chris, you remember all too well. We had talked about it before. The IRA did that to try to get their point across. And granted, it was political, but you know, the Protestant Catholic thing was all part of that, unfortunately.
I'm kind of referring to a bubble. It's like because we make an emotional bubble out of an idea. We kind of have this bubble, emotional bubble construct around an idea.
Right.
But when we actually examine it, it tends to be popped. And
yeah, like the wafer. Like
the KKK, they're like appealing. It's purely emotional. It's illusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was.
It's not a rationale.
No. Forgive me. Let me explain a second. Where I was going to go on this was, the differentiations can happen, and they can be completely violent to try and get a point across, but there are methods for trying to use intimidation tactics that are less severe and explodey. For instance, what the hell is the word? Brigadaccio? Something like that. Basically, just making yourself bigger and louder than the next guy to try to make yourself. I'll go with that for a second. I forget what the right word is. I'm sure at some point it's going to come to me. But
I've got it.
What did you do?
I think I've got it. Give me 1 second here.
So Boise's are a boisterous.
Yeah, braggadocio.
Yes.
the annoying or exaggerated talk of someone who is trying to sound very proud or brave. That's from Merriam-Webster.
Yeah, Merriam-Webster to the rescue. Okay, yeah, that's where I was trying to go, because that kind of plays into where I'm kind of wondering if part of that ends up. You've got a group that is small. They're in their bubble. They're in their area. They're trying to exert pressure on a larger group. Yes. And using those techniques of bullying and talking louder and more brash and over the top to bully others, to push them to agreeing to their position, even if they don't, just to get them to shut the hell up or to not have to worry about them. That's a piece I was kind of wondering if you might have been going with.
Yeah, if I can jump in on that. Those kind of tactics can be very effective, and sometimes they're needed and they're positive. If you think about the Pride marches and how much the LGBTQ community, which is, say, a minority group, how much influence effect they've had on the Western world, and in getting recognition, getting anti-discrimination laws in place, the Equal Marriage Act in the US, and that was all done through visibility and getting their message out to the public, using those tactics, but without any violence.
Yeah, but it's still a question of size, and it's purely an emotional issue, because I mean, in a rational world, that kind of display wouldn't be needed.
Yeah,
because their rights would have never been trampled upon in the first place.
Yeah. Exactly, and you know, any rational person, like, okay, how does gay sex? How would that affect me? And it can't affect you in the least.
Well, unless I mean, that is the argument that I convince a gentleman. So go ahead.
Stop thinking that.
Ooh. Shots fired.
Yeah. No. About the only way it affects you is if you're curious about it and want to go through with it, or roofie. One of those two. That's okay, what the only way it affects you. A rainbow colored wrapper on your Whopper in Boise, Idaho, Mr. Fisher, Des Moines, Iowa, that ain't going to do nothing except make your garbage a little more colorful.
Okay, so...
think of the landfills, please. They're already gray and boring. Let's color them up, make them more attractive.
Make them fabulous!
Okay, so... comment. That's great. All right, so Bill Cosby concerts aside for a second. Bill Cosby concerts aside for a second. The pieces that we need to kind of wonder about and bring it as far back onto topic as we can, with the religious doctrines, we had a couple of examples where they're using the book, they're working, they're saying what they want that coincides with the book, and they're actually doing what they say is supposed to coincide with the book, which actually kind of coincides with the book, except for the whole not using actual rocks on people, but whatever. You know what? Personally, thank you. My local emergency room, of course, thanks you for not using bludgeoning weapons. But
yeah.
But what about groups that end up using books and following through with them, but they're not right? Which could, well, I mean, I'm setting this up very poorly. So let me make it much more direct for a second. The Mormon religion, the Book of Mormon and such, has gone ahead and they have it as part of the doctrine that those people that are not light and delightsome in their skin coloring are part of the family of Ham, I believe it was, and are not quite as good as those of us that are Caucasian-skinned.
The Lamanites and...
Isn't it funny how that aligns with the morals of the time in the area where they were operating?
Again, yeah. It goes back to the whole moral code that a lot of prejudicial organizations today still adhere to because they refuse to accept that, you know what, we as a majority in society don't think like that anymore, or we don't want to think like that anymore because it's stupid. Judging a person's worth based on the color of their skin, like, to me, that doesn't make sense.
No, because you're rational.
Well, yeah, we've also got, at this point, and to be fair about it, we've also got a couple of hundred years past of cultural experience to better, forgive me, color how we deal with those that are different from us. And, oh God, I'm actually setting myself up for a different rabbit hole in a minute. But it's still a crap argument from a known charlatan and thief and
yeah.
You know, that's what's funny about doctrine. I mean, you can use it as a justification for anything. I mean, it's so full of contradictions that you can, quote unquote, justify the worst abominations, best moral principles, and all in one, you've got an argument from authority. You've got an imaginary friend who's authorizing you to do this. You've got the antiquity. You've got the entire, you know, whoever's on board in using this particular piece of doctrine. You've got
cherry picking.
And, well, it's cherry picking, yeah. I mean, it's all of this in one. So, like, doctrine is just too convenient. I mean,
throwing a little Dunning-Kruger to get over the rough spots, and you're good to go. Yeah.
I think I can bring this back round to the title of the show. So we've covered a couple of unpleasant groups, and they're who actually come out and directly say the horrible stuff that they think. And to a point, okay, that's fine. They've in many countries in the West, they've got the right to do that. What annoys me more is, and Joseph mentioned the word smarmy earlier, is the more perhaps mainstream, particularly Christian groups, that are on like love the sinner but hate the sin, or, you know, we love gay people, we just don't like the fact that they actually want to be gay and live as gay people, and yet they say that they're speaking from a position of love and caring and
yeah.
Well, they really do believe that they are, sorry, in many cases. They fear for their immortal soul. They fear that eternal punishment is going to be set upon these people.
Yeah, text. Can I just... sorry.
Yeah, go on, Chris.
Yeah, okay. So the thing is, you ask yourself, like, what is love? And what kind of response or feeling do you get from someone that you love? And how do you tell that someone loves you? Generally, it's because they act in a positive way to you. You know, they care about your life, like what you do, and who you are as a person. And that's a positive experience. If when you say you love someone, you're coming from a position of love, yet the impact of your actions is identical to what the groups such as the WBC or the KKK are advocating, then this is not love. This is being smarmy, and it's just the same hate, just wrapped up in a different political style to try and get a sympathy vote or something. Or an empathy vote.
It's really sad when, you know, like, I listen to too many atheist podcasts. I didn't want to say atheist to begin with because, I mean, it's a lot of the same stuff. They talk about current events. They talk about, I mean, you got guys like Brian Fisher and Pat Robertson and Glenn Beck as of late. Oh, he's a gem, isn't he? And several of these other people.
My dick.
Well, and then there's that, oh, what's his name? I'm blanking on the name, but he's a relatively new, Anderson, I think his name is. He's the one that was talking about, you know, the whole open source and carving the happy faces on the open source.
Never mind. We'll just move on.
Yeah, but like, I'm listening to these guys fear-mongering, spreading hate, telling outright lies. And I'm serious. Like, saying that, oh, this guy, you know, he has horns on his head. Well, no, he doesn't. Well, yes, he does, because he's gay. No. You know, like, I've heard people like Beck, Fisher, and the other guys say stuff almost as equivalent, like stuff that is so outrageous and so provably wrong.
Mm.
And they say they're doing it because it's out of love. It's the biblical love. Like, no.
Yeah, but for me, there's something underlying here that I'll try to explain. But there's, you know, the Christian doctrine, the religions, they're always talking about morals. And the only people who can listen to this kind of discourse and approve of it are people who have no sense of morals at all. They cannot tell the difference between fact, fiction, good, bad. They rely on another human to decide all this for them.
Yeah.
And the people making these type of speeches are the quote-unquote deciders for these people who are listening.
Those are the people that scare me the most, because they could be swayed by damn near anyone with either a loud enough voice or a compelling enough hammer of a particular...
Or in some cases, squirrel!
Yeah, those that can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities.
But there's an underlying truth that I think a lot of people miss. Is it because if you're confronted with somebody like this, you can't rationalize with them. It's going to end in violence one way or another. There's a direct confrontation because, okay, you know, if they're going to confront you, they may start with a message of love. But if you continue to refuse to obey them or bow to their whatever, it's going to go downhill, like, really fast. I mean, the difference between love and the stake, well, they're not very far.
The piece about this that's...
That wasn't steak and a BJ day you were referencing there, was it?
No.
That took a second. I'm like, okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Should I go there? Derailed.
Just a little bit. But the smarmy part, you know, that's really sticking with me really, really hard. That's something that has really, really bothered me so badly, because it is such an arrogance. I mean, for me, there's no other word for it. It's not even smarmy. It's just, okay, to me, somebody who is being smarmy would be somebody who knows that they're getting one past you. They're making their point knowing that it's bullshit. Yes, I'll go ahead and I'll say it, because at this point, you know what? Screw it. Whatever it's going to be, whatever the hell it's going to be at this point.
It's not even an issue anymore.
Yeah. that they know that they're putting bullshit past you, and they're doing it in such a blatant fashion that they're just saying, I can't believe you're actually falling for this. And that's what drives me absolutely insane, because they are getting away with it.
But look at apologists you put in a corner. I mean, even when it comes down to things like when they're throwing, they have absolutely no argument. You've gone through every rational route possible. And they're reduced to word salads or gish gallops and shit like that. And they're still going to have the same smarmy attitude, because they're putting one across on you, and they know that full well. But it's not rational. It's still not rational.
It was, and also it's another side of this is a lot of people like this are not willing to openly present what they actually believe or face what they actually, you know, say they believe means.
Can I just good example
was on No Religion Required 2 weeks ago, where they had a pastor on that ducked and avoided every single question, and just tried to derail the conversation completely. It was annoying.
The underlying but the underlying thing here is just, it's like this arrogance is through a confidence in a strength in numbers, and that's it. You can throw it any way you want. I mean, it all comes back to the same thing, because no matter what I say, we're bigger than you are. We're winning, and that's it.
Yeah. In this case, the phrase "I have an army, we have a Hulk." Actually, in this case, the one with the army is the one that's going to win, because it's almost always a numbers game.
Yeah, Tech, you had something you wanted to say, and I've got something that I wanted to say in here, but I wanted to make sure that you got your piece.
Well, I said, "Don't kick my puppy," which is a rallying cry for a lot of these people. It's, we all agree that this makes us feel good, so don't tell us we're wrong, and we're going to scream louder than you because we have more people saying that it makes us feel good and we're not hurting anybody, and than you do telling us, showing us evidence that we choose to ignore. Reaffirming the numbers game.
Okay. When you have the biggest army, you don't have to reason. You can. It doesn't matter what the other size.
Yeah. Right. And I was using the "don't kick my puppy" as an unreasonable statement, because that puppy is actually a Rottweiler that's going around and gnawing on the faces of little children and adults.
Oh, let's
still claim it's a puppy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, let's be honest. If you've got your Rottweiler trained really well, he's going to go for the Achilles tendon more than a face. It's easier that way. There's a piece, however, that we're missing out on, which is, yes, you can do the Hulk versus an army thing, but there's also the piece that we're not taking into account, the cult of personality, where a single person can make all the difference in constructing
Trump.
I wasn't thinking of Trump, because he's basically gathering the unrest from the groups that would otherwise have been part of, like, the Tea Party, for instance. The very radicalized right, I guess, mm-hmm. is probably the best way of putting it. But from a religious point of view, well,
like the current Pope.
Well, you know what? Leaving the popes aside for a second, because they are a larger, long-term thing. You've got, for instance, Joseph Smith, relatively recently. You've got Jim Jones. You've got David Koresh. These guys who, as a cult of personality, pulled these groups together. And most especially, if you don't already know about the history of the Mormon Church, by the way, a piece I never knew. Not very long into the country's history here in the U.S., the Mormons could have actually made a coup and made a good chance at it. But that's another piece for later, and I forget who it was that got the show that had that on it. But
Bryce Blankenagel on the Naked Mormonism podcast.
Yeah.
Fascinating, in-depth dive into the history of how a religion forms. Right from the beginning, because this is recent enough, we've got it all on record.
And we can watch observe it evolve, too.
Look at the context, though, because, I mean, you know, it's all about trusted leader figures, and the Mormonism, well, the Mormons at this time, they were the old guard. Like, they were on the frontier, and you had all these settlers that were coming, that were depending on local leaders to survive, basically, because they're in a new land and all this.
I'd say more than that. Basically, the area where they formed was New York State, something known at the time as the Burned Over District, which was a hotbed for lunatic Christian-based cults. The Calvinists also came out of that area as well, I believe.
So if we go back in time and nuke New York, we'll be fine. Got it.
Yeah, no, and there were literally hundreds of mad churches and cults of personality churches.
You would have a group.
And they were the ones that got left over and survived.
And that's why there's so many denominations, because you basically have, you'd have a religious leader or trusted leader with a group of settlers around them, and they would go set up their own sect, basically.
Yeah.
They'd be, like, reduced to clan mentality.
Mm.
In an isolated... Days, sorry?
No, but I was just going to say, like, even these days, you've got, like, Joel Osteen, for instance. What denomination is he? Does it matter?
Actually, yeah, no. It does. It's called money.
Well,
I thought that was Ken Ham.
That's one of them too. Cults of personality.
It's the largest denomination with Osteen.
Yeah. See, I was about to mention what's his nuts there, Manning, but unless they're meeting out in the parking lot, they really don't have a place to meet right now.
That seems perfect for his, the parking lot behind Starbucks.
Yes. Well, I've got my Starbucks cup. Is it time to get the latte yet?
No,
and
that's
look,
just
it's even white.
Yeah, see, I was about to reiterate my pledge that the day I hear that former church of his gets turned over to that LGBT group as a drop-in center, well, not turned over, but when the group buys it or leases it or whatever to turn it into that drop-in center that they want, I will go to Starbucks. I will take a selfie of myself, because you don't take a selfie of anybody else, with Starbucks cup in hand, maybe a little bit of foam around the mouth, drinking the latte, to basically salute goodbye, Pastor Manning.
Yeah, me too.
If we're gonna do this as a group, we should do this the fun way. We should ask specifically for whipped cream on the top and get a little on our lips so that we've got it when we take
exactly,
the chocolate itself.
Exactly. Well, see, it doesn't necessarily have to be a latte then. I mean, you can get
hot chocolate.
Well, yeah, hot chocolate.
I love a hot chocolate because it's a lot creamier than a latte.
What about rainbow latte?
Well, no. See, you've got to be. Myself. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Here it is. No. Just give me a second here. See if I actually do carry it or if it's just the app. Give me a second here. Here we go. See, I am a gold card carrying member of Starbucks.
Moo.
So you get this. You can get in and get the people latte because they recognize that you're. You're a well-respected member of their community.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, no, that's all. By the way, folks, that's all bullshit. You just download the app, buy enough coffee, you get a gold card.
Mine's
good. Yeah. I think this brings up two things for me. One is people like James Manning are, I think, brilliant because they are – you don't even have to do the work of – parodying them because they are a self-parody. They're just so far out there and so lunatic that it is immediately obvious that the views that he's promoting and the nonsense coming out of his mouth is that most of us lay people would view as being at least on the borderline of mentally ill.
Yeah.
But then
they hold up the Bible, say they're doing it for God's love, and bingo, they're accepted.
Yeah.
And that's, see, now, from my opening, I'm sorry, Chris, but really quickly, but like I was saying from my opening, that's what kills me. That, yes, they are absolutely self-parody, but yet nobody seems to recognize the parody level.
But he's being supported, it's obviously working for him, because if it wasn't, he'd change, and he's not changing. So, like, you know,
well,
yeah. So he's found people who are willing to listen to him because, you know, again, it goes to that. Joseph, you could state this a lot more eloquently than I can, but just people wanting that sense to belong to something,
Yeah. Well, so, think of every altar as a clan campfire, and there you have it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, for Manning, it's clearly not working. I mean, if you look at the production values of the Outlaw World Ministries videos compared to, like, Joel Osteen and his mega churches or whatever, and the fact that he's having his a property sold off as, in a tax auction.
Yeah.
We're going into another territory where somebody had a model that worked. And they just don't want to let go of it.
Yeah. But this is where I think you were mentioning about not being able to reason with people earlier. Manning stands out because his views are so lunatic, and the way he presents them is so absolutely mad. And if you ever watch a video of the guy, it is deranged.
I have to wonder.
But moving on from that is, if you actually share his views, does not the way this guy is presenting them questions, so like, is what I think actually making any sense?
Yeah.
And moving on to the where I'm going to. I've not disagreed with Joseph enough for this show. I think reasoning. I think.
I knew something.
Reasoning with people, and the more we get more people on board with actual reasoning and exercising critical thinking and moving away from these irrational positions, and the more, say, like the moderate or casual. Level of sort of religious believers move away from the churches, and people stop identifying themselves as Catholic, hopefully, on there, the numbers go down, and then the craziness of these people stands out so much more against a rational background than it does against say a religious background in society.
Yeah.
I mentioned earlier that we've got a couple of hundred years at this point culturally to re-examine how we think about a lot of different pieces. And slavery, of course, was one of the big ones. I mean, we've had... In human history, there has been slavery, as has been stated by... somebody else, that pretty much every culture has been enslaved by somebody and has themselves enslaved somebody else.
I'd like to argue it still exists, but...
I don't argue that point. Does it still? Yes. Is it far more subtle than chains around a neck?
We just don't call it that anymore. That's enough to disqualify.
But what I wanted to hit was that we've got people, as was pointed out with the current fiasco that is the political scene here in the United States right now. And I didn't want to go here, but since it was brought up and it is incredibly incredibly prominent in the world stage right now. You know what? If we're just screwing with the rating at this point, you know what? Screw it. Donald fucking Trump. And this is not specifically religious, but I'm using this as coloring for a second. Motherfucking Donald Trump has stirred up so much vitriol. So much unrest, so much hate, that you can't even any longer call it stirring it up so much as what would the term be for when you take your hand in the water and you make a little vortex and you pull it all into the center and you're at the center of it all. He's made a
whirlpool.
Well, funny enough, I was just thinking cyclone.
He's pulling a Joseph Smith. I mean, it doesn't matter what you're preaching. I mean, he's just appealing to the
base popularity.
Well, yeah, clan rules. I mean, he's set himself up to be a trusted leader.
What he did is he tapped into a vein of anger, apathy, latent prejudice, like everything that the Tea Party was.
Well,
he has tapped into and is now capitalizing on.
Yeah. And
he's not really so much as stirring the pot anymore as he's stoking the fire.
He's tapped into, okay, United States, things are not going well with wealth disparity and all this, and the middle class is basically gone. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of people losing their houses, losing their jobs. They've been dumbed down for, five generations now? And, there's no... That you have to use rationality to get out of this type of situation, but he's like appealing to
ignorance, people's
basest instincts. You know, there's a problem. Well, let's find somebody to blame for it.
Yeah,
it can't be what we're doing. No way, because this is how we are. I mean, everybody's the same way I am, so it must be working. It's kind of like,
see, I'm not trying to promote Bernie Sanders, but he has been doing. In many cases, what you're talking about, he's been saying, look, here's where the problem is. Here's how we go about correcting it. Like, in fact, he didn't say that, vote for me, I'm going to get everything done. He went up on stage and said, listen, voting for me and just paying attention to that aspect of the vote is not going to get anything done. You have to pay attention to who your candidates are that are running for Congress, Congress, your local and state government elected officials, where they stand, what they plan to do, how they plan to do it. He basically told them, you need to educate yourself about these people who are running and vote for the ones that you feel are best going to get the job done, because I can't do it alone. That's an intelligent stance to take.
But that's one appealing to rationality, and that's something you can test for yourself. But, it's funny, Sanders and Trump, it's like they're polar opposites.
Yeah.
And they're...
Oh, I can't imagine what history is going to say about this.
Yeah, because, Sanders is appealing to a rational, quote-unquote, minority. We're not sure if they're a minority or not, actually, because, religion is so fucking loud that they're making themselves seem the majority. But... they're appealing to a brand of Democrat who normally wouldn't vote because they kind of thought it was useless, like all,
like college kids.
Yeah, it's like, people just like looking at the greater scheme of things and seeing that the dumbed down majority have control of everything, and they're thinking that their own vote won't.
And he hit him with logic. He said, listen, you guys are not the minority. You're not this little tiny group. You're this big controlling block. And you can make changes. As young as you are, you can make the changes. You can make informed decisions. He's basically empowering them through logic and rationale, like you said.
But do you see what's going on here with the Republicans? Like, they're blowing themselves up to look like something much bigger than they are.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's actually working, because the rational people, they're thinking, oh, we don't have a chance, so let's vote for Hillary just in case.
Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. The candidates for actual presidency have not been chosen yet.
Correct.
Correct. That's what the primaries are all about.
Yeah,
they're
getting
the votes, one Democrat, one Republican, and then they'll...
Yeah, but my point is that, yes, Sanders is talking a big game, but he's not the candidate yet. And I've been hearing a lot of rumbles that the RNC, the DNC, might still try to push Hillary forward because they think that she's the best one. The backlash from that could be that all of this hyping, all of this pumping up that Bernie's done, and rightly so, if he's not the one that's running for the Oval Office, the backlash of apathy is going to be, pardon the term, biblical in proportion.
Potentially, because when they asked him if he would not get the vote, would he encourage the support of Hillary? He said, listen, the race is not over yet. let's not get ahead of ourselves. It basically negated the argument as you're asking about what ifs, we're talking about right now.
But I just hope that the ones who are in control of this vote are taking what I've just said into consideration or something along the lines of it, because
my speculation is with his knowledge, my speculation is that with his knowledge, his history, his understanding of how everything works politically in the government, is that if he does not get enough to be the Democratic nominee, he will do something in some way, shape, or form that will encourage the voters who would normally vote for him to go towards Hillary, at the very least, to keep him away from the likes of Trump and Cruz and Rubio.
Yeah.
Now,
that's actually what's it's this doubt that Sanders' followers won't vote for Hillary. It's that doubt that keeps people from supporting Sanders.
Yes.
But one thing about Sanders is this is important because it's a precedent. He's setting a precedent. I mean, even if he doesn't make the nomination,
there's
a whole new generation of rational-minded voters who understand, you know, Sanders is popular, and he's never has been before. And so, like, there's a whole new generation of voters who understand, they actually have empirical proof that their voice matters.
Not only that, they have a whole generation that understand that the voting history of your senators and your Congress critters are on public record, that they are accessible. Mm-hmm. He pointed out to the general populace, listen, don't take my word for it. You go over here and you can see the history of your politician. Assuming the person who's running for office, because Trump isn't a politician, there's some public records of some things he's done, and other things, there's no public record.
No. Yeah, now, I'm going to...
But he's also a private citizen and not a government official.
Yeah.
So the rules change just a little bit in his favor because of that.
Yeah, I'm going to risk a lot with this, and you guys are not going to know just how much so until I've gotten it all out there, because this kind of really ties together the actual intent for the show and where we've just gotten to.
Okay, go ahead.
The diametric opposition of perspectives at this point. Bernie Sanders, and there are groups like him that share the same overall philosophy, like the secular humanists or the Unitarian Universalists.
I just call them Unitarians for short.
Okay, the UUs, who are... No,
I remember the first time somebody said, oh, are you a UU? And I'm going, what the hell are you talking about?
No. But the idea is, I've got an idea, and I'm going to stand out here, and I'm going to say my piece, and I think I'm right, and I'm willing to have people talk to me and show me if I'm right or if I'm wrong, and if I'm right, I would like you to join me. And we can work towards this goal because I think it's right. What do you think? You're with me? You think that I'm right? Cool. Let's keep going.
All right, so you want feedback.
But again, you're appealing to a rational mindset.
He hasn't described yet what he wants our feedback upon. He hasn't given us the pit sales pitch, so to speak.
Right, okay. Right. Okay, now here's...
Sorry, sir.
Here's that's position number one. Here is the diametric opposition, and I'm gonna do this one, even though I know full well that we may end up having a real problem with this one later. Versus specifically Trump. However, this can be very easily attributed to pretty much all of the Republicans at this point, all of the right and very right of center groups who have all said, let's all band together and tear down that fucking nigger in the White House. Think about the last almost 8 years of President Obama's office and try to tell me that the attitude of let's tear that nigger, sorry, that foreign-born nigger out of the White House, tell me that that attitude has not been prevalent, and compare that and make that also part of the every religious book. If we are all together under this one book, and this book says that person is not part of us, we need to tear them down and or kill them or convert them. Tell me that this isn't exactly what the opposites are on the spectrum at this point.
Right. For clarification for our audience, both viewer and listener, you're not using the FN statement as your own or as a validation of your own personal feelings. You're actually using it as a generalization of opinions that have been publicly stated by people such as some of the Trump supporters, some as the KKK. You're pulling from those groups, not your own words.
Thank you. That is exactly right.
I understand where you're coming from now.
Yes, I am speaking as a
You're trying to basically condense the statements of both sides, of the two polar sides.
Yes, and what? I'm stating it as if I were, and this is going to sound so full of myself, as a current day historian.
Or devil's advocate.
Or devil's advocate, yeah.
Devil's advocate, he's so both sides of the coin, typically.
Look at it from a motive point of view, because you don't have to indicate race in this. All you have to do is just it's outsider. So you've got the old white men establishment, the old money who are in the habit of controlling things.
I don't think you can separate race out from that issue at all.
No, you don't have to hone in on just race. I mean, you've got people running things, and then you've got all these different elements. They see a danger to their establishment. Mm. So, any excuse, this is a threat to us still. So that's the center issue. We see a threat.
They will use any label
they want, they can find. They will cherry pick any label.
Yeah, because there are black supporters of Trump. There are Mexican supporters of Trump after what he said about Mexican. Yeah. It goes beyond that. It's like what you said, it's motive. Like, if I had the motive that I wanted to be rich, I mean wealthy, with virtually no repercussions for what I did, okay? And now assuming for a moment that my personal moral and ethical views, which are up here, are suddenly lowered to this point, do you know what the first thing I would do? I'd open a church.
Yeah, well, I've thought about that. Actually, probably the easier way would be to just get $1 million loan from your dad, but we'll come back to that.
My motive?
You have an advantage over the people you're going to be taking money from, and it's all about maintaining that advantage. So you have a choice of either working yourself or making everybody else stupid, or appealing to their already existing stupidity. And...
but also,
that's kind of what Trump is all about.
But. Race does enter into it to some degree, like Chris was pointing out, because one of the problems that Sanders is running into is the fact that he is an old white man in a position of authority. And some people, because of ignorance and because of misperceptions or stereotypes or any number of reasons, okay? Not everybody's an idiot. Some people just have visceral emotions. Cannot see past that.
So let's have a look at the other candidates then.
Like Hillary.
You've got Hillary and Carson. The only two that don't fit into that demographic.
Exactly.
Hillary's trying to appeal to both. That's her problem.
She's doing pretty decent.
Let Chris finish.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris. Right.
Yeah, and so that argument is doesn't really make any sense because none of the others are anything other than older, rich white guys. And Sanders is the only one that is actually seems to be saying anything coherent.
Well, see, with Hillary, one of the things that she's begun to do is she's begun to, in her own words, paraphrase some of the things that Sanders has said before, putting her own little spin or twist on it. And any good politician can do that. Any good politician. Okay? But when you say, oh, well, the old white male in the position of authority doesn't typically apply to Hillary, if you looked at her past associations with her family and the banking systems, other politicians, hell, the Trump family, okay? They've shown pictures of Hillary and Clinton hanging out with – or Hillary and Bill hanging out with Trump and family, okay?
But
fundraiser or not, they were hanging out. The point is that her family, okay, between the marriage with Bill Clinton and the associations through the political lineup as as wife of the president, the things that she did when Bill was in position, she has made connections as the various positions that she's held, she has those same connections, those same types.
She represents old money.
She still represents old money. The only difference is she has a vagina.
Okay, let's not go into, look at base motive, because, and people don't
look at the motive's still the same.
Because
the base motive is still the same. I was telling Chris that the only difference, true difference, between her and some of the other old white ones were, you know, gender. She still has the same motives, like you're pointing out.
As for the pictures that have been put out of Hillary associating with Trump and whatever else, you get to a certain level in like politics or civil society on there. The spouse of any world leader is going to be attending so many, I don't know, conferences, charity events, political rallies, whatever, as part of their role.
And I'm glad you're pointing that out.
They are going to make connections on both sides of the political fence, and they are going to meet thousands, if not tens of thousands of people, and get photos with them. And these people at big, high-profile political fundraisers are going to be rich people like Trump.
Yep.
That can donate substantial amounts of money. And so you could, if you were to look back at a catalogue of photographs, you could probably find pictures of like 50, 100 different millionaires in photos with Hillary.
But the thing is,
I'm sure you can find any photo of any Republican Party member with George Soros at one time or another. I mean,
but the point is that these things, these events, these get-togethers, especially the ones that happen behind closed doors, are great means for old money to connect with other old money, regardless of their political party's base position.
Do you see what's going on here, though? Because
they're all interconnected.
You're talking about behind closed doors, and this is why Hillary bothers me, because we're talking about old rich money. These are people who have an advantage over society. Between themselves, they're dealing rationally. Between themselves.
Right.
So that's on the back end, that's behind closed doors. But on the front end, is Hillary's message a rational one? No, she's appealing to popularity. She's appealing to, like, all of the base instincts. She's pandering, basically.
And you can see that in by how some of her statements have changed. Some of her statements were, well, we can focus on topic X, Y, and Z, but not right away. They kind of have to be pushed to the side. And now instead of saying that they have to be pushed to the side, they're saying, yes, these are important topics, but stop mentioning when they need to be addressed.
And it's
because
like
she found that the previous ones...
It's exactly the same thing. It's like cherry picking from the Bible.
Yep.
Because, I mean, like, you know, she's maintaining a rational position of old money status quo and what she wants to maintain that while pandering on the front end to, you know, supporters.
And the motive is control.
Well, emotionally. So the on the back end is rational, and on the front end it's just purely emotional. I mean, reason need not apply.
Yeah, and as you said, motive. And the motive here is power and control, which is the Bible. Look at how many people were told that if they killed themselves in horrible, horrible times of human trial, they were told that if they committed suicide, that they would go to hell. But the Bible never specifically says anything like that. They cherry-picked it. They appealed to emotion. The
Bible's a prop.
About.
Right, it's but, the guy holding it.
Yeah, and Trump is a prop.
No. No,
for
no,
the
no.
Republic, for various politicians are props for their party as a whole.
Well, yeah, with the old money in the background, okay, but
exactly.
Yeah,
it ties together. It's just different, and it's analogous.
Mm.
And I mean, like for example, there's nothing in the Bible that says suicide sends you to hell. Okay, it's the taking of your own life. Okay, there's nothing specific. I've read the passages that supposedly refer to people having ended their life soon, but it never specifically states that suicide is a sinful act that is unforgivable. Yet, however, if you go to Ireland,
abortion,
or other countries that have Catholicism, Roman Catholicism, as a deep base, or Protestantism, or any of the other ones, they will tell you it's an unforgivable sin. Why? As a means of
why are you
control.
Talking about? Yeah, I think you missed my point, though.
No, it really is the same thing. It's just a different topic. Politics, suicide, birth control, Planned Parenthood. All these things are basically the same things being approached in the same manner through. They're being driven by the motive of power and control, whether by using the method of either religion or supposed facts or appeal to emotion or appeal to authority, different fallacies. They're all being used as a means of control.
Yeah, you've got humans thinking for other humans. Basically, and these leaders are trusted leaders, and they are supposed to make the decisions for the following. And they can say basically whatever they want, as long as they're trusted.
Now, Joe and Chris, you guys are actually smarter than me. What I was trying to do was basically show that despite the different topics...
I don't agree, but...
The things that are going on are basically the same. Whether they're using religion or they're using politics, there's... You've got your motive behind them. You've got, Chris, the visceral emotional responses as a means of control.
Yeah, and by the way, before you guys go ahead and start responding, I want to let you know that we are getting close in on wrapping, and unfortunately I'm dragging really hard right now for reasons I'm leaving out of it all. So I'm going to get you guys to finish out of this, Chris.
Tech. What I'd say is I probably need to digest what you're saying more and think about that before I can come up with a response.
I'm not doing conspiracy crazy.
No, and I don't know which side I'd come down on yet.
Okay.
But with on the politics side of things, what I'd be most interested to see is whoever wins in the next, you know, 4-year term, whether whoever wins can get any shit done. because the the bipartisan stuff that's been going on over the last 8 years or more on there has meant that someone mentioned that among themselves, the people dealing with themselves rationally, they're not. Then that is one of the biggest problems I think the US is facing, is that, and I know the Republicans get a massive amount of stick for this, and quite rightly so, that they have been obstructionist and blocking it and shuffling.
And there's been plenty of Democrats too.
The Democrats are not completely clean on this either, by a long shot.
Talking about old money bullies.
Yeah, and unless the House and like the Senate elections go, I think that would be very important as to what kind of majority, or what kind of level of support whoever's gets in has, to as to whether or not they can actually get any shit done.
But you see, what's going on here is that over the past years, the fact that the Senate and the House, the Congress is getting nothing done, that's basically bullying from the Republican Party. But rationality has not had the front center stage.
That's what I was saying. If we can't get it our way, we're going to shut the process down.
Yeah, but when rationality, like through Sanders is bringing rationality to the center stage.
Yeah,
and again, if his bid fails, he's bullying going on in Congress, it's going to be all the more apparent. There's going to be a light shining on it, and people are going to begin not only to see it for what it is, but think it's okay to think that,
I'm hoping that people will see what it is and decide that this is not okay, because historically, in the US and currently in most other two-house democratic systems, while the parties may be in opposition on many issues, there is at least either a mechanism for which stuff can get done, or there is an agreement that, while we're separated ideologically on a lot of issues, then we still need to have debate on individual bills, pieces of law as they come up, and look at this and say, this we can accept this, or we can't, and to allow actually the process to go through and for something to be achieved.
Okay.
Rather than like throwing your toys out of a pram like a spoiled 2-year-old.
Okay. Yeah. Please forgive me. I really gotta get us moving along at this point. Joseph, what last did you want to pop in here? Or do you feel you've gotten your point well enough?
I think so, yeah. But I think we should look at base motive more. And I mean, what language we're speaking, whether it's a rational one or an emotional one.
Yeah, well, I'm going to kind of hit that in a couple of seconds. Tech, real quick, what last item did you want to get out?
I don't think I could other than... Well, I don't think I can, because right now, like I said, I have a cold, and I think with my mental faculties where they're at right now, that was the best possible wording I could come up with. I'm sure if I look back upon this on a day where I don't have a cold, I could go, oh, I should have said X, Y, and Z instead of A, B, C. But I think that the point that I was trying to get across is still embedded in there. Like Chris said, had to think about it for a while. I'm not going for conspiracy theory. I'm not saying that the politicians and the religion idiots over at the Vatican are in cahoots. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the means, the methods, the motives, the reactions, regardless of how you paint it, they're all have the same foundations. Motives, control, power, authority, visceral reactions as a means of driving the flock or your political voters or the KKK members. I mean, it can apply to almost anything.
Okay. Dallin, I gave you I saw that you were muted, so I figured that you were really like working over some information for yourself to close out with.
Well, it wasn't so much that. It was really just listening to the discussion there between Tech and Joseph and Chris. Although, based on, I do want to dovetail a little bit onto what Tech said about the motives for power and control. And the old phrase that it's, you attract more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. Kind of circling around back to the whole idea of the show, which was about, you know, the love thing. That's, to me, that's the honey. You from a religious motivational standpoint, you profess the whole thing that, you know, God is love, God is this, you know, follow me and you'll be in God's love. It's a great way to attract people to your way of thinking.
You're talking about encapsulating it in sugar.
Mm. Yeah, and then once you're in, kind of like Scientology, then all the other stuff comes out, but you're already into it, so you're just going to follow along anyway, because by that point, you really, either you can't or you don't want to get out of that bubble because you're in a comfort zone. And whatever the leader says, you're comfortable with it. Mm. So if the leader calls you in with the honey, brings you in, and then kind of turns, you know, then you see this sort of the twist away. By that point, it's tough to get out because you're already in that comfort zone.
Or in the case of Scientology, you're locked up in a shack in the middle of the desert somewhere.
Yeah, I didn't quite want to go that far into it, but it is kind of the same thing, just not quite so Tom Cruise-y. You know, except now that it could be Ted Cruise-y, you know, which could be a whole other set of problems. But yeah, I see it now a little bit differently, that they promote the love to bring you in to exert the power that they want and to exert the control that they want. And it's up to us. And it's too bad that they can pull people in. All we can do is present the information. We can't always drag people kicking and screaming back into rationality and reason, because then we're seen as the monsters.
But
all we can do is hold up the mirror and say, is this what you want to look like?
Yeah, but will they understand that?
Yeah, that's the thing. We can't force them to turn their heads and look at themselves.
No.
But if we can catch their eye for a moment, maybe there's hope.
Yeah, and this is part of the getting this message out. And I'll agree with Joe, this on an individual occasion, it was very often very hard or very difficult to reason with someone who has an irrational belief about anything. Mm-hmm. Yep. If the message and the example of reason is presented often enough for long enough, then with a percentage of people, even if it is a small percentage, that message will stick. And people, there's, you know, the whole clergy project thing of people deconverting.
Yeah.
And it is happening, and rates of non-belief are sort of going up steadily.
That's the appeal to popularity, but it's a paradox. But the road to reason, for somebody who doesn't reason, it's through emotion, because it's a trust issue. You have to earn their trust, and only once you have that trust will they begin to listen or even dare to try to reason on their own.
That's where I'm going to go ahead and call it dead at this point, because you hit a good springboard for me for where I was thinking about closing out really quickly, and
boingy, boingy.
Please forgive me. I'm really dragging out right now for reasons I won't discuss. There's a thing that's happened over here. Don't worry.
He got older.
No, it's there's a thing.
He's still 39.
I'll explain later. It has nothing to do with any of this. With the trust issue and such, kind of backtracking a little bit into where the overall topic really started off with. And yeah, we've kind of gone through a lot of different iterations and such, but again, it's to really color the commentary about the whole damn thing. There are a number of things that people will utilize as a reason for saying that being in their religion is a good thing. And one of the things tends to be stability. And because of that stability, you have a basis for appreciating others or life in general or nature around us or whatever the case may be.
Survival.
But culturally, currently, the idea that the Bible, and I'm using that one specifically because it tends to be the most prevalent in society for us currently here, the Bible is an unchanging, unflinching expression of from God. Now, that's not usually how it's put out because I'm really dragging out mentally at this point to try and pull it out, but you get the idea. And yet, the same idea of stability will be used to vilify people, especially in the political scenes right now. And going back with Bernie Sanders, and I'm using these as current day examples that are very stark. Bernie Sanders, people have vilified for unchanging in his positions for the vast majority of his stuff. And you end up with, you're unflinching, you don't want to bend and change with how things are, but then if you do, you're wishy-washy. But yet you will say that the Bible is good because it's always been right all this time. You just haven't read it correctly and interpreted it correctly, so the flexibility is still there. But what is the deal breaker? Results. If you have to bend the interpretation in order to make things work right, that's not good. Versus if your opinion is consistent and reality shows that it's right, then the fact that you haven't changed your position says that you were doing the right thing.
Does it stand to testing?
That's the question. And the only way to find that one out for certain is to ask the questions and to find out, does it play out correctly? Is it correct when all the chips are down, when all the information is in, when all the facts have been brought to light? And the funny part of it is there are a lot of times, I can't say all of them, there are a lot of times when Mr. Sanders has been specifically shown to have been right in his rationale and his position, even though people said, no, you're wrong. And he stuck to his guns. Do I respect him because he stuck to his guns? No. I respect him because he stuck to his rationale, which he checked to make sure that it was right. Now, I need to finish this off with a piece that's uncomfortable. Because what's the flip side to that? Unflinching devotion to the word of God. How do I prove that that's wrong? By ending with something that we otherwise would have started with. As of the recording of this show, it has now been 3 years, 8 months, 18 days, since Raif Badawi was jailed for thought crime against the theocracy in government in Saudi Arabia. And we're still hoping for you. With that, everyone, thank you very much for listening and watching the show tonight. We hope that you've found something inspirational and something to think about through the show, and we hope that you've enjoyed your time with us, as always. I'd like to thank the panel for being with us, and I'm going to get us out of here as quickly as I can because, like I said, Joseph, thank you very kindly this morning. Plug all of the things, and thank you for your time, as always.
Oh, yeah, I'm alone for the plugs. Atheist Apocalypse at atheistapocalypse.com, and that's about it.
Fair enough.
I like how he almost rolls his eyes when he says that.
You know,
oh, they gotta plug this thing.
I don't like plugging things. I don't know.
Well, you know, they do make these things with suction cups on the ends if you need help plugging something. We'll and you're all by yourself.
I budgeted to one face palm per show, or face palm per show. Otherwise, I'd get a cerebral hemorrhage. The blood's a little thinner than it used to be.
Yeah, there's a good reason for that. Chris?
Yeah, I'm new to plugs, so apologies.
Thank you very much for your time, Chris. You have a good morning. And I do still, listen, I do still have Think the Book in the permanent show notes. What's the word on that one currently?
The word is the Kickstarter funding for that has now finished and it was successful. So the book's going to be going out in October this year.
We're going to have a published author on our panel.
Well, no, it's not myself that's writing the book. It's one of my friends from the Manchester Skeptics on there. And far more creative in that line of things than I ever am. But it's brilliant stuff, and I'm happy that it got funded. But it does leave me on the sad note that I have nothing to plug this week.
Okay. I'm going to leave Think the Book in the permanent show notes for the time being, at least, then. You can just pass that along. And
yeah, I mean, it's certainly... The gallery is and a sample page there. There's some very good material in there which people might find interesting.
Good enough. I'm Reno Tech. Thank you very much for your time, and you have yourself a good morning.
Absolutely.
Thanks for making it, man.
No problem. To the audience, listen, I'm not the most eloquent speaker, and
case
my train of thought, yeah, ever since you mentioned fatigue, mine showed up with a vengeance. My train of thought tends to jump from 1 point to 5 points to 5 points for each individual of those five. In the space, time space it takes for your heart to beat. Okay. So when I'm on medicine and I can't properly convey all those jumps, you get the reactions like Joe or Chris, who in the middle of some of my statements had their eyes going, well, what the hell is he talking about?
They're just, where are you going?
Right. Sometimes that's not actually apparent because I've apparently missed conveying a key point. So thank you for bearing with me. I do apologize if it started to sound a little bit like I was trying to say there's a conspiracy, but really there isn't. It's something that's been going on for a very long time, and until rationality and free thinking and true love, as Chris put out, actually for your fellow man spreads across the world, all these items connected, it's going to keep happening.
Okay. That was a little bit longer. Yeah, that eloquence thing, you're right. We'll work on that.
Hi! Fuck religion.
You're welcome.
There
Dallin,
you go.
thank you, of course, for your time and all of the expertise you've been doing on stuff, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, do what I do.
All the things.
Yep. Again, if you want us in your ear, in your ears, but not on your eyes, you can always check out the podcast version of this at holycrapthevlogcast.com. As for myself, I do keep a little bit of a blog where I tend to bitch about stuff that maybe I don't get a chance to bitch about too much on here.
Am I going to be part of it?
No.
Every week?
I tend not to drag. Hey, you know what? Okay, look, I'm not going to drag this out too much because I know we're all flagging here. I got nothing against any of y'all. Okay? Even if we do get into a disagreement or something like that, I actually do enjoy the time that I spend on this show with you guys. It's awesome. I wish we could all meet in a pub somewhere and get absolutely shit-faced drunk all together, because the blood thinners I'm on right now, I'm not too crazy about the injections. I prefer the more traditional blood thinner of alcohol. Unfortunately, the doctors don't quite endorse that just yet. But
we'll meet for cheeseburgers and milkshakes.
Yeah, and keep the leafy stuff off of it because vitamin K will actually thicken the blood, and I don't want that right now.
We'll cover it in mayonnaise.
You'll be no.
Cover you in mayonnaise.
You promise?
Yeah.
And on that visual, I will simply plug Random Thoughts of Our Virtual Tiger, robotechtiger.tumblr.com. Been a while since I've written anything because I haven't had too much to bitch about.
Okay.
There. Plugged.
Oh, did you plug the audio novel as part of that?
Kind of holding off on that one right now because I'm actually working on. I'm trying to figure out what the next step is. It's been edited twice.
The one that's out there already.
Sorry, yeah, that's the one that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I already did.
Okay, and I also want to remind you that there is still currently in the show notes. The list for Shift to Reason Conference in Regina, which is April 30th of this year, coming up.
Going to try to get out to that one myself.
Yep, that's also in the show notes. That'll be shifttoreason.com.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all in there. Anything else for you?
Nope, that's all I got for me.
Okay. As a reminder for folks, well, partly as a reminder, next weekend, I'm going to be recording with the Atheist podcast group on Friday night, so I'm not going to be on my usual Friday exposition. The week after that, I'm going to be in Toronto, so there will be no show in 2 weeks. Don't worry, you guys will be able to find out a little bit more about that on various social media for me. I'm working on an idea for a show for next week where I want to talk – I'll give you guys a heads up about it now. What I'm going to want to do is talk about how science fiction technology has been influencing how we look at law.
Oh, Shujin, just to jump in on that quickly, would you have any objection if the rest of the panel got together and did a hangout in your absence for the week?
I had not even considered that. I don't see that as really being a problem. As an official or unofficial, if
you were to give Dallin the necessary details, say, to post it in the normal place.
Sure, put it on me, why don't you?
Well, it does say at the bottom of your screen, podcast and audio, bitch.
Point. You're not wrong.
There is that.
I knew that was going to bite me in the ass one of these days.
Or plug it.
Bite the pillow.
Yeah. We'll talk about it off the air briefly. Yeah. And if there is going to be anything, we'll make sure that it is listed somewhere in social media for folks. It will not end up being through this official channel because I don't know how to hand over the keys, so to speak, because of the Google Hangout and all that stuff. But if something will happen, we'll get the word out on the social media one way or another. So we'll get you. But in the meantime, we got to get out of here. What the hell else was there? Also, do not forget that if you want to check out stuff for Bridget Fitch, her blog is listed in the show notes, bridgetfitch2112.wordpress.com. Heretic Woman, of course, on Beyond the Trailer Park, and what the hell else did she have? You know what? I don't have anything else for her.
I think she used to have my secular saver, but I don't think that's happening anymore.
I don't have a listing for when or what that's happening with at the moment, so we'll have to find out. But otherwise, yeah, we shall see. If you'd like to leave any messages for us, of course, please, by all means, send us an email over to podcast@holycrapthevlogcast.com. You can find the group pretty much everywhere. And a few more likes over on Facebook would be wonderful. Thank you. Thanks. That would be really cool.
I'll get to work.
I appreciate that. And
of course, the ghost accounts.
Facebook.com/holycrapthevlogcast. And we will be seeing you guys next week. And again, as a heads to, since I forgot to explain the heads up that I was referring to, is stuff like Judge Dredd, stuff like the pilot episode of Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, where all of the council was the little round machines that were judging everything because machines can think of these things better, or so they stated. Don't get me started on the whole Gary Coleman burgers are actually lizards thing, because you don't want me to get into involved in all that. But you get the idea as to where I'm coming from, and we'll kind of go from there and see how this plays out. Meantime, until next week, I will see you all, of course. I wish you the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you all well. Happy birthday to some of us, of course. Heretic Woman and myself especially. And Alan coming up soon.
Actually, last week.
Okay, so coming up in a year.
Yeah. Close enough. Yeah, and it was my birthday when you did the Atheist on Air tribute show.
Ah. And Joseph, were you motioning something?
Nope.
No? Okay, fine. Good. Moving on. And my wife. Matsune Fujin. I love you and I miss you. Dream of me. We'll see you guys next week, and until that time, good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.